This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Let's get it. Hour number two of the season premiere episode. It's your source, the Upstate source, for high school football talk, interviews, analysis, and more all throughout the week. Today's the season premiere. We're going all the way to the state championship weekend in early December, and I'm the man driving the bus. It is good to be here with you. I am Rob Jones. Lonzo producing the show here. He's on the phone working to get our guest here in just a moment, and we're going to do all that in just a moment. Let's take a look at the Upstate Top 10. We promised you that. We're going to give you that coming up here in just a second. Also coming up later, Brock Hamrick, Gaffney play-by-play man, Greg Porter, the head football coach at Greenville High. We'll talk to him and Dan Scott, the voice of the Furman Paladins. All that coming up before we get out of here in 59 minutes. So we got to get it here. Upstate Top 10 here. We're going to unveil that. We're going to have this for you every week. The Upstate Top 10 is regardless of classification. So you could have a 1A team in it. You can have 5A teams in it. It also only includes the upstate area that we work in and we pay attention to. So just because you have an 864 area code like Rock Hill or Newberry, we do not consider that. I do not consider that part of necessarily the upstate. So those teams like South Point, Rock Hill will not be in the top 10. Otherwise, they would be because they're a tremendous, tremendous football team. the Upstate Top 10, let's start with number one, Gaffney, the defending 5A state champions, undefeated last year, were able to knock off Dutch Fork and end their win streak. They open tonight at 4A state champion South Point, coincidentally, in Rock Hill. Gaffney led by quarterback Grayson Loftus. He's committed to Duke University. We're going to talk to Indians play-by-play man Brock Hamrick coming up in just a few minutes and have him break down the game with South Point tonight. Their number one is Gaffney. Number two, Daniel. They handled Greer last night 51-21. Daniel, 25-game win streak, back-to-back 3A state championships. They're at Easley next week. Spartanburg High School, you had their head coach on the program in the last segment, Mark Hodge. They are number three in my poll here, the Upstate Top 10. Spartanburg number three, upper state title game last year. Coming off that, Raheem Jeter back at quarterback. They've got other D1 talent. They open tonight at the number four team in the state of Georgia, Langston Hughes, who's coming off a 6A state championship title game loss last year. Number four in the poll for the Upstate Top 10, the Hillcrest Rams. They were impressive last night, 41-7 with a win over Lawrence. Quarterback Bennett Judy is back. He's got playmakers around him, Avery McFadden, Jalen Neal, Logan Coldren. They've got a solid line and a returning defense that grew up last year. They're at Greer next week. Number four, Hillcrest Rams. Number five, Dorman. They had as impressive a win as you're going to find in week zero, 53-28 over a highly ranked Greenville High team. Great offensive line and run game for Dorman. Two D1 guys on that offensive line. They've got other playmakers around that. Demarius Foster, 300 yards on the ground. Head coach Dustin Curtis, his first year, his first game, his debut last night. Tremendous there as he replaces Dave Gutshaw, who retired as the longtime Dorman coach at the end of last year. And Curtis comes up from AC Flora, where he built that program into a state-level contender in their classification. Dorman, number five, they're at North Augusta next week. Poundersville comes in at number six, 47-23, impressive win on the road at Broome. They were up 24-0 at halftime. Thomas Williams is a D1 prospect at various positions, kind of an athlete, a flex guy. He's committed to Virginia Tech, and linebacker Jalen Rambert is a D1 guy with offers from Arkansas, West Virginia, Penn State, and other. Powdersville and Abbeville, who comes in number 7, they meet next week. Abbeville, the Panthers, will win over McCormick, no problem, 42-3. Traditional power is Abbeville. They went deep in the playoffs in 2A before getting beat last year. Biggest game in the upstate, in my opinion, this coming week as they take on Powdersville. Number 8 is T.L. Hanna. They had a blowout win against Boiling Springs, 43-0. We mentioned how Hanna does what Hanna does. They execute, they block, they run the football effectively, and they win last night, and they continuously win on a yearly basis. The Burns Rebels come in at number 9. They smashed 3A Brooklyn Casey, who was ranked in 3A coming into last night, 62-7. Rebels roll. They host Chapman next week. And number 10, Greenville High. They lost. I had them higher in the poll. They lost to a good Dorman team last night, so they fall down to the 10 spot, but still holding in that 10 spot. And there are some other teams like Clinton, who's right on the cusp as well. Greer gets a little credit for playing Daniel, even though they lost. Christchurch, those teams were all considered, but Greenville High, number 10. But the number 9 ranked team in the poll, the Burns Rebels, their play-by-play man who made his debut in that role last night, and a man that you hear on this very channel and this very station from 9 to noon, joins me here on the program. You hear him every weekday. He's my man, RB, Rob Brown. Good to have you this morning, Rob. Appreciate the time.
Rob Jones, happy to do it, buddy. Good morning. Good to hear you. Great show this AM. Glad to be here for the ride, pal.
Hey, man, glad to have you along, buddy. And, you know, last night, Burns gets a win in your debut as their play-by-play man, 62-7. Rob, I listened to the first half. Burns kind of got off to a slow start, and then they really, really turned it on in the second half and just kind of pulled away from Brooklyn Casey at that point.
Well, first off, let me start by congratulating you, Rob Jones, because you get a pleasure and honor, a distinction that only I right now in the sports world have. You get to work with Lorenzo Wright-Sell this morning, and that's a Hall of Fame contribution to the resume, buddy. So make sure you write that one down. It was a tale of two halves for this team. But that being said, I don't really want to say it was Burns getting off to a slow start. Brooklyn Casey is not a bad little football team.
Right.
It's a 3A team. They got a much smaller roster. So the war of attrition kicked in for Burns. And that's not to take credit away from the Burns Rebels, because they made some great adjustments at halftime. The basically what it came down to was, with about 8.5 minutes left to go in the first half, Burns watched as Brooklyn Casey shifted from a spread offense team that they really did a good job of stopping in the first half, and they turned into a power team. They ended up going almost kind of a wildcat formation. They were running two fullbacks standing shoe to shoe in the backfield with a halfback behind them. A young man by the name of Benjamin Pugh was outstanding last night in that power running back role for the Bearcats. And when they were doing that power run in the first half, Burns just didn't really have an answer for it. So they went on this long, sustained drive. That being said, there were 3 different third and twos and 1 fourth down play that Burns got BC into last night, and they just could not finish them off. They just could not get that third or fourth down stop before they punched it in. When they came out in the second half, Reggie Shaw and co. did an outstanding job coaching-wise of putting in a couple of adjustments. I think that the nerves of it being week one, being back in front of the band, being back in front of the fans for the first time, kind of wore off a little bit for the Rebels. And when they came back and went back to that power run offense in the second half, Burns had made the adjustments. They had stepped up. They started filling the gaps. And on top of that, they started generating some pressure on the quarterback, Tanner Statton. Good little player. Got an offer to go play for Elon, and he'll probably get a couple more throughout this year. But once they were able to start generating a little bit more pressure on Tanner Statton, he didn't have the time to let routes develop. The run game was getting snuffed out, and at that point it was all Burns the rest of the night.
Rob Brown is my guest, the new play-by-play man for Burns. You hear him on the call last night of the game. Also, you hear him 9 to noon every weekday on the Rob Brown Show. Last night, Rob, Burns wins in major fashion over Brooklyn Casey, 62-7. First start last night at quarterback for Colby Shaw, the son of head coach Reggie Shaw. What'd you see? What'd you like about Colby Shaw? And did you see progression from him as the game went along?
Yeah, I think he settled in. I mean, he's got – listen, there's playmakers all over the ball for this Burns team. Kai Cook was phenomenal. Two touchdowns for him yesterday evening. Armani Weaver, they call him Money. Money was great last night as well. He had a big, long touchdown touchdown catch later as well. Like I said, Colby Shaw had to settle in just like everybody else. You could see there maybe some first-game jitters earlier in that game. BC, as we mentioned, not as deep as Burns, but certainly just as talented across the starting 22 on both sides of the ball. They were flying around the football early. They were disrupting routes. And then, you know, once we got to the second half and the cramps had started kicking in and the conditioning started kicking in and the war of attrition kicked in, Colby Shaw was able to settle down, was able to find this guy. I mean, it basically came down to there were a lot of underthrown balls early, a lot of bouncing the balls down around the feet of guys. But once he settled in and once guys started breaking, I mean, in fact, on one of the touchdown passes, he had Kai Cook, who ran an excellent route. He was running kind of a deep inside route, like a 12 and in, 15 and in, but recognized that it was against the cover two high safety and flattened out the route. So he basically just kind of angled very shallow angle into the middle of the field. Well, Colby Shaw saw what he was doing, delivered the ball coming out of the break. You know, I mean, it was right in the breadbasket. In fact, he had another pass down the sideline that Kai Cook dropped. Tough ball, was coming directly over the helmet. That's a tough catch to make no matter what level you're at, but it could not have been thrown anywhere else for Colby Shaw, and he dropped it right over the shoulder or right over the helmet into the hands of Kai Cook, who couldn't make the catch, but the throw was outstanding. So, you know, Colby Shaw clearly got better as the game progressed, and I suspect we're going to see him do that during the duration of the season as well.
Rob Brown is my guest, coming off his debut as the play-by-play man for the Burns Rebels. You hear him every weekday on this here station from 9 to noon. Burns a winner big time last night, 62-7 over Brooklyn Casey. Rob, we certainly appreciate your time. I know you had a late night and an early turnaround this morning, so I do appreciate you making the time. I know that you got a big game with Burns hosting Chapman next week. We're looking forward to hearing you on the call of that and joining you on halftime like I did last night, man. So from Friday to Saturday, man, we talked to each other a whole lot more than we did probably all the entire offseason just by happenstance. But I appreciate certainly your time and having you this morning, big man.
Yeah, man, happy to do it. Appreciated you coming on last night. I got no problem doing it on Saturday mornings. I love to talk a little bit of football. It brings the world together. Big game for the Rebels next week as well. They're going to get a little bit more of a test next week. And now that they've spent some time on the field sharpening it up, we'll see if they can come out and be consistency all off season. Coach Reggie Shaw was talking about discipline and consistency. A little bit of lack of discipline early from the Rebels last night as they were getting emotional. Now we'll see if they can fix that up. Appreciate you, fellas.
Yeah, man, appreciate it. That's Rob Brown, voice of the Burns Rebels, joining us here on the program. You can text in. We've got Gaffney Talk coming up as Gaffney takes on South Point, Rock Hill, 5A defending champs and 4A defending champs. You can text in your questions for Gaffney play-by-play man Brock Hamrick to 71307. That's the Founders Federal Credit Union text line, 71307. Text the keyword fan, and we will get those questions to our man, Brock Hamrick. He'll join us to talk Gaffney football when we return. It's the Saturday Morning Scramble, powered by Founders Federal Credit Union and Ingalls Markets, right here on the Fan Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Hour number two of the program. I'd like to thank my guest from the last hour and the last segment, Joe Dandron from the Greenville News, Coach Mark Hodge from Spartanburg High School. They open tonight at Langston Hughes in Georgia. Also, Rob Brown, play-by-play man for the Burns Rebels and a man that you hear here on this station on a regular basis. Let's take a look at the scores here before we get to our next guest. The scores brought to you by the Upstate Football football score stream on the fan, upstate.com. That's the high school football score stream on the fan, upstate.com. Easy for me to say this morning. Dorman, a winner over Greenville High, 53-28. Southside Christian loses at Commerce, Georgia, 21-17. Snaps the Sabres' 23-game win streak. That a big story coming out of last night as well. Daniel extends their win streak to 25 games, beating Greer 51-21. Hillcrest, no problem with Lawrence, 41-7. Riverside, a 61-21 winner over Travelers Rest. Palmetto with a win over Woodmont, 27-14. J.L. Mann routed Eastside, 56-14. Poundersville, the number six team in the upstate top 10 poll, they win 47-23 at Broome. They were up 24-0 at the half. They take on number seven in our poll, Abbeville, next week. There, Blue Ridge a winner over Chesney, 42-37. First win in the series for Blue Ridge in 20 years. And Fountain Inn, their first ever varsity game, they fall to West Oak 9-6. Seneca, a winner over Wade Hampton, 42-19. The Generals continue to struggle. Greenwood loses on the road to AC Flora, 38-20. And St. Joe's smash Fox Creek, 43-7. Big games on the marquee tonight, week zero. With no college football, you've got teams taking advantage of playing on Saturday. And the marquee game across the state, Gaffney, number one in 5A, defending state champs, number one in the upstate top 10 here on the scramble. They take on South Point, Rock Hill, number two in the overall scheme of things, really, and number one in 4A, defending 4A state champs. And to talk about it, he's a man who's backed by popular demand. You heard him on this program all throughout last year in Gaffney's run to the state title. He's back by popular demand. Our buddy Brock Hamrick joins the program, the play-by-play man for Gaffney football. Brock, good morning. Appreciate the time. Good to hear from you, buddy.
Good morning, Rob. Good to be with you this morning, and what an exciting time it is. And I told someone yesterday that this is probably my favorite time of year, week zero high school football, the lead up on that Friday. I actually took in a game last night over in Blacksburg. There were some good games across the state, and probably one of the best ones last night was Woodruff and Chapman.
Right.
The Wolverines coming away with a win in overtime. And what a way to kick off the season. And like you mentioned, no college football, so going to play on Saturday. And what a matchup. What a way to start the season. You mentioned it, the defending 5A champion against the defending 4A champion. And two teams really, Rob, that have lost a lot from a team that won a state championship a year ago. There's some young and new faces. We'll see what happens tonight. There's going to be some mistakes made. We'll see which team had the better offseason in preparing some of these sophomores to take a starting position.
Which team do you feel like has lost the most? I know Gaffney lost quite a bit, so did South Point from both those teams. And Gaffney, I know, has, you know, Grayson Loftus and some other Division I guys coming back. Which team do you think has more of a rebuilding job to do?
I think it's the Gaffney Indians in both a quantity and quality standpoint. When you look at the Indians, lost 12 starters last year off both sides of the ball. That included Ken Littlejohn and Tyler Smith, which were two 1,000-yard rushers. Lost just about the entire offensive line with the exception of two. up front. And they had an exceptional year last year. And then defensively, you lose two of your leaders in Landon Bullock and Eddie Tate McDowell. So a tall task ahead for the Indians. When you look at South Point, they lost five starters on both sides of the football, including their quarterback. They've got their running back and Caleb Sims back. And they're really strong defensively, Rob. They've got a guy in the defensive secondary, DJ Barksdale, is headed to James Madison. They're strong on the defensive line, which will challenge the Indians' young and inexperienced offensive line. There's a lot in this matchup, but as far as rebuilding, I think Gaffney had the taller task this offseason.
Brock Hamrick is my guest, Gaffney play-by-play man. The Indians open their season on the road at defending 4A champions South Point Rock Hill tonight. Brock, you mentioned the South Point secondary, and one thing I love about playmakers, guys in the secondary, guys at receiver, they have to have a certain mindset, a certain confidence, and South Point certainly has that. Those guys in the secondary call themselves the Seatbelt Gang. And I was wondering at the end of the year last year when they won the state title, like, why do they call them the Seatbelt Gang? And one of those guys said in the media scrum after the state championship, we call ourselves the Seatbelt Gang because you're not going anywhere when you got a seatbelt on you. And that's what Grayson Loftus and Gaffney's got to face tonight.
Yeah, you're right. And you talk about Grayson Loftus, and he had an exceptional year last year as a junior. 2,400 yards passing, 24 touchdowns, and you're right. This is probably as strong a defensive secondary as he's seen, and definitely a difficult way to start the season. And when you look at South Point defensively and offensively at the skill positions, there's one thing that stands out about them on film is they're so athletic.
Right.
I think Gaffney and South Point are a lot alike in the fact they always have athletic players on the perimeter. They're always a team that can make a run and win football games. And when you talk about winning, that's what South Point's used to. This
right.
will be the first year of first-year head coach Bobby Collins. But this is a South Point school, Rob, that you know was built in 2006, and since then they've won seven state titles.
Right.
So pretty impressive. This South Point team has a pedigree of winning, and they're going to look to do it tonight. They'll have sort of a home field advantage. Of course, South Point does have their own stadium, but we're playing at District 3 tonight. A great scene for a high school football game and a great way to start the year.
Well, and another thing, we know that Gaffney travels as well as anybody, Reservation Roadshow, because Rock Hill just an hour down the road.
Yeah, it is, and there will be a great showing of Gaffney fans tonight, and really I think Gaffney fans are interested to see what the Indians have. I think this is a little uncertainty surrounding the team as far as who's going to fill these positions, who's going to step up and be the playmakers. Both on offense and defense, like we mentioned, Gaffney does have Grayson Loftus coming back, and we've talked ad nauseum about Loftus and what he means to this Gaffney team. But really from a leadership standpoint, he's been key during the offseason to work in some of the younger guys, some of the new guys to the varsity
right.
level. So we'll see how that pays off tonight. But, hey, it's first game. You're going to see first game jitters. You're going to see first game mistakes. We'll see which team manages that the best.
Brock Hamrick is my guest, Gaffney play-by-play man. Brock, you mentioned Grayson Loftus. He's committed to Duke. I saw on 24/7 Sports he had some other offers, Georgia being one. Any insight on why choose Duke over, say, Georgia and some more, you know, of the traditional football schools?
When you look at his recruiting trail, I think Georgia was one of the first schools whenever he was a sophomore and at Blue Ridge that approached him. And you know, whenever he made that commitment to Duke and in an interview right after that, he said it just felt like home. Of course, the Blue Devils going through a little bit of a restructuring with Mike Elko taking over as a head coach of the program.
Right.
And Grayson Loftus has a true connection with Coach Elko, and he feels like it's the right place for him. And when you look at all things considered, Rob, it's a pretty good deal to get to go up there and play football, get some free tickets to basketball games, and get a really good education as well. But, you know,
true.
Grayson Loftus, he's a great kid. He's a leader, and he'll be an asset. You know, up at Duke University. And you never know, Rob, in today's world of recruiting, how many times have we seen athletes decommit and change their mind before
that's true too.
It's time to actually go. So not saying Grayson Loftus is going to do that. He's given absolutely no indication that he will. But you never know. You know, things change, and sometimes, you know, players change their mind. So we'll have to see as the season goes on if that happens.
Yeah, that does make sense, and we could see that. And, you know, certainly we'll be paying attention to it. Brock Hamrick has been my guest here on the program, Gaffney play-by-play man. The Indians in the marquee game across the state, 5A defending champs. They take on South Point on the road in Rock Hill tonight, the defending 4A champs. Brock, it is a titanic matchup tonight. We certainly know that you guys will make the trip down. Gaffney will be well represented, and we know that everybody around the Gaffney community excited to get football underway, man. We appreciate you joining the program today, and have safe travels down to Rock Hill.
Thanks, Rob. Appreciate it. And, yeah, we're looking forward to this one. It's going to be a great way to start the season. And this is a game a lot of eyes are going to be on. This is going to tell the true test of both of these teams early in the year. And, Rob, once again, we look forward to talking with you throughout the season and appreciate what you do for high school sports.
Man, we appreciate you. And we'll have you next week and talk about the results of tonight's game against South Point Rock Hill. That's Brock Hamrick, Gaffney play-by-play man. We appreciate his time. We take a break here. We'll come back and talk to Greenville High head coach Greg Porter when we return. It's the Saturday Morning Scramble powered by Founders Federal Credit Union and Ingalls Markets on the Fan Upstate. It is a Saturday Morning Scramble. Good to have you. I'd like to thank my last guest, Brock Hamrick, play-by-play man for the Gaffney Indians, for joining me. Gaffney takes on South Point Rock Hill tonight on the road, a matchup of the defending 5A champs in Gaffney and the defending 4A champs in South Point Rock Hill. Glad to have you along with us. You can hit us on the text line, 71307. That's the Founders Federal Credit Union text line, 71307. Start your text with the word fan, and away you go from there. Greg Porter joins the program. Coach Porter, we appreciate your time. Good to have you. I know it's harder to come on after a loss like last night, but we certainly appreciate you coming on and making time for us this morning.
Thank you for having me on your show. I appreciate it.
Yeah, Coach, you know, you guys opened the season with a really tough matchup. I thought one of the premier matchups in the entire 864 area at Dorman last night. Before we talk about the results of the game, kind of what was the mindset for you and your team as far as scheduling a quality opponent like Dorman right out of the gate?
Well, my mindset is we're going to get ourselves prepared for the region play. It was an opportunity to find out. We have all these Alabama, all these kids with these offers. So, hey, let's put it to the test. You know, everybody want to play college football, but you got to play good high school teams to show where you are, find your standard, find your boundary. I thought our kids played very well the first half, especially our offense. The offense staff, Coach Lamb, they did an incredible job. I'm responsible for the defense, and I have to get the defense better. I have to get that group ready to go next week.
Coach Greg Porter is my guest, Greenville High head coach. They fall to Dorman last night, 53-28. Coach, you talked a little bit about your defense kind of struggling last night. You gave up over 300 yards rushing, 306 to Demarius Foster last night in Dorman. And we know about Dorman's offensive line, how good they are. Marquis Anderson, who's committed to South Carolina. DJ Geth committed to North Carolina. How much of that was how good Dorman is up front and in the run game, and how much of that was where maybe you guys missed assignments and had issues stopping the run?
I tell you what, Coach Curtis have an incredible offensive system. I competed against him when he was at AC Floor, and to me, I just felt like that was an AC Floor team on steroids. You know, Frost is an incredible running back that's running behind a serious offensive line. I think our team tried their best. We are young on defense, but we make no excuse about it. They knew the schedule that we had. And I don't think it's necessarily that we didn't do this. Maybe we didn't do we could have done a better job tackling, but I just think they executed their offensive system very well.
Coach Greg Porter, Greenville High head coach, is my guest here on the Saturday Morning Scramble. I'm Rob Jones, Lonzo producing your program this morning. So, Coach, we know that you guys have had high expectations coming into the season. You've got a lot of talent. You touched on it. You've got some Division I guys, Tyler Brown, who's committed to Minnesota, Mazio Bennett, who's the number one receiver, you know, in the junior class and has, you know, blue chip offers, Alabama, Georgia, everybody else. Blake Franks, who's on your offensive line. You've got the pieces here, Coach. What do you have to do to kind of bring everything together and take a big step forward into next week?
Our pieces on defense got to carry their weight. We can't rely on those three young men to carry the entire team. It's not fair to them at all. We're a team, and they realize that we all have to work together to make this goal accomplished. We know our non-region games are very competitive. I mean, we got T.L. Hanna next week. We got Burns the following week. So we make no bones about it. We're going to be ready. We're going to come out on Monday and get better. But we can't rely on those three guys to carry us. Defensive players got to do their job. It's a must.
Coach Greg
got to do their job.
Coach Greg Porter from Greenville High is my guest here on the Saturday Morning Scramble. Coach, we know that you're replacing Pro Franklin at quarterback, who was with you last year, helped you guys get to the upper state championship game. He signed with South Carolina State. Now you've got sophomore Jordan Sink in the fray there. He's got a lot to work with your playmakers like Brown and Bennett. But Jordan, just a 10th grader, making a first start for you last night, threw for about 250 passing yards, a couple of touchdowns. You mentioned that you thought your offense played pretty well in the first half especially. What do you think about Jordan's play at quarterback, and what do you think about the future going forward for him?
To be honest with you, the thing that I was really worried about and concerned about was not the issue. We was worried about whether the quarterback situation was going to be a hindrance to what we had planned. So we had a plan to do quarterback by committee. But we realized it was not the quarterback. It was nothing about the offense. It was the defense. We couldn't get lined up right. And, you know, so Jordan played an exceptional game. I was really proud of him, how he handled the adversity. I wasn't sure if he could handle the stage. It was a big game for him.
Sure.
But he did very well.
Yeah, and certainly that first start against a quality Dorman team like that is a big stage, as you mentioned. He's able to acquit himself quite well. And you look at a 10th grader, you expect you know, that he'll get better throughout the season as you go forward. Now, you mentioned that you've got T.L. Hanna coming to town next week, Friday night. T.L. Hanna, another team that loves to run the ball. We know about their option offense. They've been doing it forever. They do it really well. They execute, they block, they tackle. They always do that. What's the message going to be this week in preparation for T.L. Hanna? What do you have to do to shore up some of your issues on the defensive end in terms of stopping a run?
Better be ready to tackle again. Get a second chance at it. So we're going to prepare and got to get back to the fundamentals, make sure that the scheme is simple for our young kids. We have about six sophomores starting on defense right now. They probably could play JV, but they're playing varsity. So it's an investment that I believe the compound interest will come back later on by region time. This is a learning experience, but at the same time, they still got to carry out their assignments because I believe in them. I believe in this team. I believe in the schedule that I put together because I have a plan. But they also got to believe in a plan, and everybody got to work the plan together.
Right. Now, you mentioned talking about being ready to tackle. Now, are you guys, you know, different coaches are different. Some coaches don't hit during the week, guys, you know, in practice. Some coaches do. Are you guys gonna hit this week in preparation for Hanna?
Well, we'll do what we have to do to get ready for Hanna. We don't want to play the game on Tuesday or Wednesday,
right,
then don't have nobody on Friday.
Right.
But I have to be smart about that in my scheduling. So tomorrow when I meet with the staff, I'm quite sure we'll come up with a plan that we think that is suitable for our kids.
Okay. And certainly, you know, I get what you're saying because I hear that a lot from a lot of different coaches over the years. You can't win a game on Tuesday, but you can lose one. So I understand that mindset for sure. Coach, I appreciate certainly your time this morning. I know that it's always tough to do this after a loss. I think it says a lot about your character and accountability and what you're trying to get through with your guys. And you've got a big game next week with T.L. Hanna. We appreciate your time, and we're looking forward to that game. And best of luck going forward. We'll definitely have you back on throughout the season, and we look forward to covering you and see what you guys do. We have no doubt that you guys are going to put the best foot forward going forward.
Absolutely. I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. That's Coach Greg Porter, Greenville High head football coach here on the Saturday morning scramble. They fall last night to Dorman 53-28 in one of the marquee games around the upstate as we move forward here. Let's look at the scores before we get to our next guest and we switch gears a little bit. We're going to talk a little college football in a moment, but let's look at the scores. The scoreboard update powered by ScoreStream on the fanupstate.com. You go to the fanupstate.com, you'll see the high school football score stream on the right-hand side. That's going to have score updates all throughout the year for you and live real-time updates there. That's the score stream, high school football score stream on the Fan Upstate. And we look at the scoreboard here from last night. We mentioned Dorman 53-28 over Greenville. Daniel, 25-game win streak. They extend that win streak to 25 with a win over Greer in decisive fashion, 51-21. Southside Christian snaps their 23-game win streak with a loss at Commerce, Georgia, 21-17. There, Hillcrest, the winner. They roll over Lawrence. Big things expected out of the Hillcrest Rams. They win 41-7. Palmetto, a winner over Woodmont, 27-14. Powdersville, impressive last night. They came in number six in our upstate top 10, and they handled Broome 47-23. We're up 24-0 at the half. Riverside, 61-21 over TR. Riverside, quarterback Robinson Sanders threw for 7 touchdown passes, having himself a day last night. J.L. Mann routed Eastside 56-14, Mann's first 50-point performance in the series since 2009. Blue Ridge 42-37 over Chesney, first win in that series in 20 years for Blue Ridge. Fountain Inn played their first-ever varsity game and fell to West Oak 9-6. First win of the opener, first season opening win for West Oak, I should say, since 2014. Seneca a winner last night, 42-19 over Wade Hampton. Greenwood falls on the road at AC Flora, 38-20. St. Joe's over Fox Creek, 43-7. Abbeville rolled up McCormick. Abbeville number 7 in our top 10. They win 40-3. Clinton over Batesburg-Leesville. Clinton very close to being in the upstate top 10. 55-20 they win. Emerald edges 96, 35-28. Burns all over Brooklyn KC. Burns came in number 9 in the upstate top 10. They win 62-7 in that one. Pickens edges Crescent 31-28. And T.L. Hanna rolls over Boylan Springs. Hanna in our upstate top 10. They win 43-0 over Boylan Springs last night. And Woodruff, a big win over Chapman in overtime, 13-7. Woodruff sniffing around there on the others, getting votes in our upstate top 10, and we'll see if they're able to do that. Chapman looking to bounce back as they go to Burns on Friday night. We transition here. We'll talk a little college football here. Coming up today, a big deal. You know that Fan Upstate is the home of Furman football, and the Paladin Fan Fest is going on at Paladin Stadium this afternoon. My guest is the voice of the Furman Paladins, Dan Scott, here on the program. Dan, you and I talked earlier this week when we're setting this up. I appreciate the time. It's the first time that you and I have been on the air together in well over a decade. So this is something that we haven't done in a long time, and it's good to have you, man.
Well, it's good to be back, and I guess that means that the restraining order expired, right?
Against me or against you?
Well, we'll just leave that up to the listeners to decide.
Yeah, that and the courts, right?
Yeah,
listeners
exactly.
In the courts. Dan Scott out of the gate with jokes this morning, throwing zingers. I like it. Furman Fan Fest today going on at 3 o'clock, Paladin Stadium. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Well, it's going to be kind of a warm-up for the game day atmosphere that our athletic director, Jason Donnelly, instilled last year, trying to make it, you know, a destination, a fun-filled event for the family pregame. So outside, starting at 3 o'clock today, they'll have everything from inflatables for the kids. There'll be a dunk tank. There will be food trucks. All kinds of different activities going on. If you think you're a cornhole legend, I would imagine you can probably come and play some of that as well. And then at 5 o'clock, the glorified practice will start. I don't know exactly how much live scrimmaging they're going to do, but there will be some inside Paladin Stadium. And then when that's done, fans will be able to go down onto the field and get autographs, which is, you know, probably the highlight of every fan day, especially for the kids to get to go down and meet some of their heroes that they watch play on Saturday. So it's going to be a full afternoon of fun at Paladin Stadium this year, and we're looking forward to having people out there.
That's this afternoon starting at 3 o'clock, Furman Fan Fest at Paladin Stadium. Dan Scott is my guest here to talk about it. Dan, you mentioned, kind of the excitement around the program starting today, getting closer and closer to opening the program, opening the season and that kind of thing. Furman finished or picked to finish fourth by the coaches and the media in the preseason SoCon meetings. Is that about where you kind of thought that the Paladins would be expected to finish?
Well, I mean, you know, when it comes to polls like that, those are very subjective. They can be suggestive too, I suppose, but subjective was the word I was looking for. But you know, I can see why, because there is a lot of talent in this conference coming back, and the single biggest question mark about Furman, and everybody knows this, is quarterback play. Quarterback play last year was the issue, getting consistent play from Hamp Simpson at the beginning of the season, and then at that time the true freshman, Jace Wilson, when he took over to start the Wofford game, and he started pretty much the rest of the year. And you're talking about a freshman who was really thrown into the fire last year, a true freshman who missed 10 days of camp because of COVID, and was kind of playing catch-up a little bit, and I had a chance to talk to him last week, and I said, all right, you know, now you can tell me, how overwhelmed were you? And, you know, he tried to play it off a little bit. But he said about the final two games of the regular season is when he really started to feel comfortable in the role. And then, of course, George Quarles, who was the offensive coordinator, goes and takes the head coaching job at ETSU. And Justin Roper comes in and installs a whole new offense, whole new terminology. So he's had to do that through the offseason. But the good news is that they had the entire spring to work on it. And I've been out to practice a couple of times, and he and this offense look really, really good right now. They do. He's playing with a lot of confidence. There's some competition at the quarterback spot with the transfer from Presbyterian College who has come in. They got a true freshman that they really like from Marysville, Tennessee, that they're hoping to redshirt. Jace Wilson's going to be, I think, the guy who is going to trigger this thing. It's in his lap right now. And I'll tell you, if the offensive line holds up and across the front five, the first five, there's a lot of depth and a lot of talent. After that, there are some question marks. But if the offensive line holds up, I think the offense is going to be a lot better than it was last year. And mark my words, Rob, this defense very well could be the best defense in the Southern Conference. It is talented, it is deep, and it is experienced.
Dan Scott is my guest, voice of the Furman Paladins, the Fan Fest at Furman going on today at 3 o'clock at Paladin Stadium. Take advantage of that. That'll be running throughout the afternoon. They'll have opportunities for the fans to get autographs, that kind of thing, after the practice today. You mentioned the defense for Furman, anchored by Travis Blackshear, first-team preseason All-SoCon defensive back, a guy who's a veteran, been through the wars of the SoCon. I'm hearing from NFL scouts and different people that follow NFL draft type stuff that Travis Blackshear's a name that's on the board that we could see drafted to the NFL after this season.
Well, you know, we'll see. He is a very talented kid. There's no question about that. And he stepped into a starting role as a true freshman, 4 years ago. and has been a mainstay in the defensive backfield, decided to come back this year after kind of testing the waters in the transfer portal a little bit. And that's just going to help. You know, we were in a situation for most of last year that defensive coordinator Dwayne Vaughn was a little bit hamstrung with what he could do at the back end because of injury. Ivan Yates went out early in the season. Callie Chizik, son of Gene Chizik, did not play at all last year because of a back injury. And so he was really, really hurting depth-wise, and that limited what he could do in some situations where he probably would have preferred to have gone man-to-man but could not. Mm-hmm. If they hold up this year, they've gone from being maybe the least amount of depth in that position to more depth than any other place on that defense. And so I'm excited about what that's going to open up as far as Dwayne Vaughn is concerned. And then along the front to get Matt Sochovka back after tearing his ACL in the opener last week, and the talent that's on that defensive front, he and Cameron Coleman and Bryce Stanfield and some of the other guys, I'm telling you, Rob, this defense has a chance to be special if A, they stay healthy, and B, they play up to their capabilities.
Well, look, man, we certainly are expecting some big things. You can hear Furman football all season long, starting with their opener Thursday, September 1st, as they host North Greenville. You can hear that here on The Fan Upstate all throughout the season. Dan Scott, we appreciate your time. Good to catch up with you again, and we look forward to having you back at points throughout the season to talk a little Furman football with us, man.
All right, man, just get in touch with my agent. We'll see if we can make it work.
We'll make it work, man. I appreciate it. Have a good day, Dan.
All right, Rob. Thanks, buddy. Bye-bye.
There you go. That's Furman Fan Fest going on today at 3 o'clock at Paladin Stadium, so you can check that out. Let's run through the scores one more time, and then we'll look at next week quickly, and we'll get out of here, as I know Lonzo wants to do that same thing here, as we've got about a minute left here in the program. Again, big wins last night for Daniel, big win for Dorman, Hillcrest as well, with big wins all to open the season. You look at next week, some big games that we're going to talk about, Powdersville and Abbeville, number 6 versus number 7 in the Upstate Top 10 here on the Scramble, as we are – regardless of class, those two teams, 6 and 7 in our poll. You've got Lawrence at Clinton. Clinton almost making the poll this week, and Lawrence, a team that's going to try to bounce back after being handled by a good Hillcrest team, 41-7 last night. Speaking of Hillcrest, they're at Greer. Greer will look to bounce back after losing to Daniel last night. Southside Christian fell last night, snapped their 23-game win streak as they fell at Commerce, Georgia. They'll look to bounce back as they go play Charlotte Christian next week as they go forward from there. And Burns hosts Chapman. You can hear that game Friday night right here. Rob Brown will be on the call of the Burns game on Friday night here on the Fan Upstate. I'd like to thank Lonzo. I'd like to thank all my guests this morning, and thank you to listeners. This is the season premiere. We'll do it again next week, 8 to 10 here on the Fan Upstate. It's a Saturday morning scramble powered by Founders Federal Credit Union and Ingalls Markets. Have a great weekend, everybody.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.